Good evening, everyone. Good evening. It is now 5:01 and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee is called to order. Hello. We will start out with accepting minutes of the Finance Committee meeting on March 10th.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Need minutes. Accepting of the minutes from the committee meeting held on March 10th on the consent calendar.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll let the record show that Councilman Napper is not going to be with us this evening. He has notified the CP of such. So we have a unusual, I think, first time ever situation where we don't have any bids coming before us this evening that are over $50,000. I don't ever remember anything like that occurring. But with that said, anyone on the committee have any items that you would like to single out for questions and comments? Anyone on the committee have any questions?
And it's going to be a little bit lighthearted, but item 7, the face painting artist.
Oh, you're reading my mind. Okay. Item number 7 is pulled out by Councilman Foley. Are there any others, any other items that anyone would like to have pulled out?
Gentlemen,
members of the council.
That's all right. Just we want to make sure if there was anything you wanted pulled. Nope, they're all good.
Okay. Councilman Kirby, any items on the consent on the bid package you would like to have pulled out? Councilman Kirby, anything on the bid package? None. Anyone from members of the public? Any members of the public have anything? Sir, come to the mic, please. Identify yourself for the record.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for your time. We wanted to be present today. We
identify yourself for the record, please.
Brian Barreo, Compass IT Compliance.
William DePalmer from Compass IT Compliance.
Just go to the mic, please. Talk slow and into the mic.
William DePalmer, Compass IT Compliance.
Okay. And which item would you like to have pulled out?
Thank you. We had submitted a bid for IT security services for the city of Warwick. Just wanted to kind of represent
which
our company.
Which bid?
Was Compass IT Compliance. I don't know how you... it's a bid 2025-389.
2025...
Councilman.
2025-389.
Councilman. Phil Carlucci, IT Director. These gentlemen are speaking of a bid that does not come before council yet. I have not submitted it.
Okay. We have nothing on our calendar for that.
No, we just understood this was an opportunity for vendors to be present and just speak on their proposal.
No, there's nothing to speak on because there's nothing before us. Okay. However, we do have Rule 41 in a little while. If you'd like to make a comment, then you're free
understood.
To comment.
But, can you explain Rule 41 to the gentleman? Off mic.
Off mic, please. Let's just have one person talking at a time, please.
Sorry. Yes. Hey, you're in control.
Okay. Once again, anyone else have anything that you would like to have pulled out? One more time. Anything? Sir, come to the podium. Please vacate the podium, please. State your name for the record, please. I can't hear you. Speak right into the mic.
No, it's on.
Is it on? Hold on.
Edward Beegan.
And which item would you like to have pulled out, sir?
Regarding the school funding, the unfinished business, is this the appropriate time?
No, this is strictly on the items that are for bid. That will come up later on.
Later on during this, okay.
Sir, that's correct. Counselor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so everyone can follow at home, we're in the Finance Committee, specifically the bid package that's been posted. We're only eligible at this time to talk about those items, as the chairman noted. And so no other business can be brought up or discussed. It is just the bid package and what is posted on the agenda.
Thank you for that clarification. I would like to call out 2025-085 Telephony Services, found on page one. And we will start with that item right now.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 612 to increase the spending authority on bid 2025-085, expiring 6/30/25, by $13,000. This takes the bid from $120,600 to $133,600. These invoices come in half months. So we've processed up through February with $29,000 in spending authority remaining. The invoices have been running about $10,430, something along those lines, just over $10,000. We did have half of a month from fiscal year 2024 come into 2025. So that represents about $5,000. I anticipate for half of March, April, May, June, it's probably going to come in around $37,000, somewhere around there. I did up it by a full $13,000 to cover off on a month. These are varying fees that we get because of moves, additions, adding a conference phone or something along those lines. This is just a request for the spending authority. My intention, if approved, is not to raise the purchase order at this point in time, but to wait until we get near the end of the year and see it exactly what we need to do.
And what do you attribute these additional costs to? I know you say slightly with phone additions, removal services, etc.
Yeah, this is an estimate I do every year. I take whatever the last bill was, multiply times 12 during budget time, and just say, this is what I anticipate, up it slightly for some moves, adds, changes, and deletes, things along those lines. Then when I come to council, I just multiply it out and do the best I can. And then each year we try to adjust as we get toward the end of the year. Things that might be changing, someone says, these are all desk phones, these are not cell phones. Someone needs to take out a specific type of maybe a low-end phone and add one with a sidecar, costs a little more each month. We might have an additional person come on board or several additional people come on board. We need to add in those phones. If we swap out a regular phone for they're called spider phones, but you know those conference phones, conference room phones, they cost a little bit more. We might have some uncovered repair that we have to pay for. So it's fairly steady. It's rare to see them over 11,000. Sometimes they're down to 9,800, but it's just not 100% consistent.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you for that, Director.
Thank you.
We will move to the next item. Councilman Foley has requested 2025-375 to be pulled out. Please identify yourself for the record. And Councilman Foley, it's over to you.
I'm Beverly Wiley. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation.
Thank you. I lighthearted in the sense that how many people bid on that?
For the balloon twisters or the face?
Stay with the face painting. Two.
Right.
Okay. And did we have it last year?
Yes. When we were doing the Marketplace and Rocky Point events, a couple of times when we first did it, we had, you know, some folks just came in and volunteered their time, but set up a marketplace to do the face painting. What we found was that they work on tips. So, you know, the kids wanted to get their face painted, but yet mom didn't want to have to pay or anything for it. So we looked at our budget, and we had enough in our recreation budget to be able to cover the cost of face painters and balloon animals and also the bounce house that we have. And so we decided to put that out to bid. And putting it out to bid, we're actually saving money from what we had before. But the kids love it. We actually have to shut it down at a certain point because they're there and they want to be able to get their face painted or the balloon animals. And all three of the folks that we have coming are very professional and do such a great job that the kids look forward to it. And so we decided that our budget could cover that expense. And it ended up getting us more folks coming to to our events.
I bet it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman. Director, the question that I had is this rate of $150 per hour for 1 to 4 hours, is that the going rate for face painting?
Yes. They could do it one of two ways. They could do it the $150 an hour for anywhere from 1 to 4 hours, or they could charge $500 for a 5-hour event, but they'd want tips.
So at $500, over here it says $500 per hour with
tips.
But
that's a typo.
That's a typo.
It should be $500 okay. for a five hour event.
All right, that was my next question. So it's either or.
Yes.
$150 for 1 to 4,
yes.
Or $500 with tips for an event of 5 hours.
Yes.
And which one are you looking to do?
The one for the 5 hours.
The one for 5 hours.
Yeah, we just didn't want to put any pressure on parents or anything. Parents can still tip if they like. They can still offer a tip, but there's nothing within, you know, no sign saying, you know, it's tips are welcome or encouraging tips. So it's just mostly some of the parents will give a tip, some won't. But there's no, it's not something that's forced on people.
And where it says Parks and Recs is seeking spending authority of $4,200, that's for all 6 events, correct?
Yes, seven.
And it's going to be $500 per event?
Yes.
So why do we need $4,200 as opposed to $3,000?
Well, if one of them got rained out and we had to postpone or do it part of the day, and or if we picked up another event that we wanted to put a face painter in, that was a suggestion given to us by purchasing. So that we didn't exceed our spending authority, and I'd have to come back and ask you for more money.
So you're actually looking for an additional, almost 2.5 additional events.
Yeah, if we needed it, but hopefully we can save that money and not spend it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure, Councilman Foley.
We up on the chair. So if event was scheduled today, got postponed, do we have to pay the vendor for something for today and hope they're available for tomorrow?
Yes.
That seems like standard.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And in some cases, I have another event tomorrow, so I'm not available. But when we explain that to them, when they've come, you know, these are folks that we've worked with over the last couple of years, so they're very involved with us.
So if this event doesn't take place because of weather, I think you just said that if they can't make it, they call us or whatever. If they don't show up because of something with them, I would hope we're not paying them.
No, they have to show up.
Oh, okay.
They have to show up.
So the only way they get paid is if the event can't take place because
right, and we pay them. Like we pay them after
half of.
We that. Pay them after they submit okay. an invoice. They submit an invoice after the event, and we process the payment then.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any other questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Is there anyone out there with any questions from the public? That is it. Thank you, Director. I appreciate it. If there are no other items of interest or wanting to hold out, I'll look for a motion on the bid package.
Make a motion.
Make a motion for favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. And we are done at 5:16. Thank you very much.
Is that a record?
That's a record for anything and everything I have ever done.
Next up this evening is the Intergovernmental Committee, which cannot begin until 5:50 p.m. So we'll see you at 5:50 p.m. Good evening. The Intergovernmental Committee will be starting momentarily. Good evening. The time is now 5:50. The Intergovernmental Committee comes to order. First order of business, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on March 10th, 2025. I have a motion.
Motion to accept the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, first up, PCR 2525, resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend related to the high schools. This is not yet drafted. It's going to be withdrawn. In committee? Looking for a motion to withdraw.
Motion to withdraw.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next up, PCR 3425. Resolution requesting the General Assembly review and consider adopting amendments to the public records laws as presented in 2025 H-5457. This is Councilman Napa. Councilman Napa is not able to join us this evening. Does anyone want to introduce this?
He requested it be held till April 21st, please.
Okay. Looking for a motion to hold.
Motion to hold PCR 34-25.
Second.
And hold until, say the date one more time for me. April 21st. We've got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is there a second page?
I had one. Did we do minutes?
We did do minutes.
Yep.
Oh, everything else is unanimous consent. There being no further business before the Intergovernmental Committee, we'll move to adjourn. Time is 5:53.
Nice.
That completes committees for this evening. We will be live with you at 7 p.m. for the Warwick City Council.
At 1 p.m. Clerk will call the roll.
Here.
Mr. Louise. Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Kirby.
Here.
Mr. Lattisa.
Here.
Mr. Muno.
Here.
Mr. Napa. Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Eight present.
Councilman Lattisa, please lead us in a salute to the flag. First up, we have general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I know we have to have a moment of silence. First, we'll have a moment of silence for the recently passed Gloria Walker. Are there any other announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Muto?
I'd like to have a moment of silence for a close friend of mine and a friend of our Parks and Recreation, Greg Mattson. He recently passed after a 15-year battle with many, many diseases, but a very good person and a friend to the city of Warwick and Parks and Rec.
Can we have a moment of silence, please? Are there any other announcements of congratulations? I'm going to try that again. And any other announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Gebhardt?
This one's a congratulations. The East Greenwich Tollgate Boys hockey team won the championship.
Congratulations. Excellent news. Go alma mater. All right, any others? Seeing none, executive communications, we have acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on March 10th, 2025. Are there any objections to accepting the minutes from that meeting? Seeing none, so ordered. And then next we have public comment, rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the city council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. First up, we have Ann Sheridan.
Good evening, gentlemen. And I say that
can
in
you
light
please
of
just identify yourself first.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did. Ann Sheridan, Ward 9. So again, good evening, gentlemen. And I say that in the fact that you dedicated Warwick to Women's History Month, and there's not a woman on our council for the first time in a bazillion years. It's not your fault, but just an observation in March. Okay, so to summarize the email that I sent out to all of you, I think when you see the budget that's coming out next month or the following month, that you refrain from adding one-time income to the current budget year. It is really bad accounting. We have included $1.5 million of revenue from red light tickets for school districts. The project hasn't even started yet. And yet we're gonna have to make up $1.5 million. We've also added revenue from the sale of schools. I mean, when you've got so much unfunded liabilities, clearly that money should go somewhere else and it shouldn't be matters, but we just have to keep making up unrealistic revenue. Like we found millions of dollars in funds that were sitting in some accounts. I think on a more pressing matter, the revaluation notices are coming up in a couple of months, and I think you need to work on the exemptions ASAP, and that when the taxpayers get their notices, they deserve to know how it's going to affect them net. So I think the exemptions could be rectified. They could be adjusted. The assessor, who is really one of the top-notch people in the state, can estimate what the value is. You know where you're going to go budget-wise within a little bit, and you should be able to come. The administration should be able to come up with an estimated tax rate that could clearly go out and help the people. I mean, when you've got so many seniors and so many people that are at the lower end of the scale, these new values are going to scare them a lot, and we don't need people being frightened when you have the power to give them information. I think if we currently give circuit breaker exemptions that are needs-based. I think that needs to be changed so it leans on real estate, so that if any needs-based, we can grant exemptions to people, but it can be recaptured when the house is sold. I mean, a lot of people, many of us, have a lot of equity in our homes, and that shouldn't be passed on to our heirs, or if, God forbid, we end up in a nursing home, have them go first when the city could go first. I think you should authorize a wage and benefits study, because I think we should guarantee that all the employees are at mid-range of salaries and benefits. You're in a good place right now. It's the beginning of a four-year term. When you've got so many contracts coming up, it would be a nice thing to have, to know that you've got independent outside people saying, this is what it should look like, whether it's the number of people in jobs, the quality and the capability of people. And it's probably never been done here. The other thing that's like a pie in the sky would be to get members of the county, have the council and the administration appoint extra people to the school.
You have 1 minute, Ms. Sheridan.
Committee. I mean, if the city's paying
1 minute, Ms. Sheridan.
I know, I'm almost done. If the city's paying 60% of, if the 60% of the city's revenue goes to support the schools, we should have more people representing the taxpayers than elected officials. Not you guys, but you know, the school board's all elected, and I'm not sure that their interests are as at heart. Thank you.
Next, we have Kevin McDonald.
Good evening. My name is Kevin McDonald. I'm here with my life partner, Beverly Chittum, and my neighbor, Tammy Dickerman. We want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak to you this evening. I've been a resident and taxpayer of the city for 52 years. I currently pay over $7,500 a year in property tax, even with a veteran's exemption. I'm here tonight to speak to you about a dilemma that we are currently facing. Beverly and I purchased our house on Gorbin Drive in Ward 8 in October of 2019. The property includes an easement that drains into a 36-inch culvert to the south. On September 2nd, 2021, we were awakened by a weather alert at approximately 4 a.m. We discovered at least 5 to 6 feet of water had poured into our basement. We experienced a good deal of water damage, to include appliances, washer, dryer, refrigerator, oil tank, and the furnace had to be rebuilt. There has been an extensive history of poor drainage and flooding on Corbin Drive, especially our property. A previous owner, Joseph McGarry, built a 6-foot cement wall protecting the property, which was later taken down by the house flipper who sold it to us. Lots of construction has taken place in our neighborhood, all of which were awarded building permits from the city. Home Depot, Inskip, Olive Garden, Market Basket, and all the predecessors were built uphill from this tiny little drain. To our northwest, we have a portion of Valley Country Club and all the homes in between. Quail Ridge Condo Complex, directly to the west, sits atop a hill, which contributes to the drainage system. The easement runs parallel with Bald Hill Road. It's located across the entire length of Garvin Drive, draining into a 36-inch culvert that crosses Centerville Road. The Inskip complex has an additional 36-inch culvert, which also drains across Centerville Road. This drainage culminates in through a 48-inch culvert into Hardig Brook. On 10 January 24, we were out of town when Ms. Dickerman called and said there was a large amount of water in our backyard. Beverly flew home that day, the entire basement to the top step, 7 to 8 feet of water was deposited in our basement. The Warwick Fire Department eventually pumped us out. 3 days later, another rainstorm came through. Water accumulated and flooded the basement again with 2 to 3 feet of water. On or about 15 January 2024, I contacted Mr. Louis Colon from Constituent Affairs at the Rhode Island House of Representatives. He connected us with the Department of Agriculture. During that time frame, Darrell Moore and several engineers visited our property. Upon a visual inspection of the elevation of the backyard, the head engineer commented, "A house should never have been built here." Mr. Moore suggested that we could be eligible for a federal program to purchase our property, and the consensus was to demolish the house and install a retention pond on the site. This would subsequently solve the flooding issue at this part of the street. The grant was offered to Ms. Dickerman and the Coletti family as well. They both declined the offer. In May of that same year, we were notified that our request for federal funds was approved, and that the city of Warwick would be notified and that they would have to contribute a share of the funds as well in order to finalize the project. Federal funds have been earmarked in the amount of $570,000. The city's match would be $178,000. Had the other two property owners accepted, the city would be looking at over $1 million for a match to take possession of the three properties. I was told that the city applied for a conservation grant to cover their portion of the buyout. Finally, I received an email in November from Mr. Facenti, chief of staff for the mayor of Warwick. He said that he was fairly new on the job, and he said that the city was waiting for a response from Rhode Island DEM pertaining to a conservation grant, which they applied for to fund their end of the project. He also said that DEM had not responded to their request. I sent an email to House Speaker Joe Sakachi asking him to look into this situation. He, in fact, contacted Mr. Gray at DEM, who responded that he would look into the matter. I received the following email on 27 November from Mr. Facenti. To be honest with you,
the city does... Your time is up, Mr. McDonald.
Say that again, please.
Time is up. 5 minutes.
I didn't get a minute warning or nothing.
I'm sorry. I was too busy taking your notes.
Okay.
Sorry, Miss.
Next is, I believe this is Tammy Dickerman.
Hi, my name is Tammy Dickerman, and I live at 510 Garvin Drive, which is the property next to Kevin and Beverly. I don't know if any of you had an opportunity to see the interview on Channel 10 with Tamara and Mr. Facenti, but I just want to clarify, in no way is this related. This flooding issue is not related to climate change. This is a long-standing issue that the city is aware of. There's a lot of documentation about the flooding. It goes way back, and the city has even been advised not to allow continued permits yet. It's still happening. In fact, within the last 4 years, there was a lot on the corner of Garvin and Country View that was sold and developed, and a large home was built on that. So again, now the water that typically would drain in the earth is now in the street, goes in the storm drains, and goes behind our homes, and funnels into a 36-inch culvert, which was originally there when there were no homes. It's never been widened. It's clearly not enough to accept the water from the entire neighborhood. We're in a valley. Kevin and Beverly's home is like at the end of a funnel. So when the Department of Agriculture came to meet with us, I asked them if the flooding was, I was also flooded. I didn't have 7 feet of water. I only had 3. But I asked if the flooding was due to overdevelopment, and they said yes. And then I asked if when permits are given for building, does anyone take into consideration where the water will go? And they said no. Typically, the cities and the towns want the revenue. And I understand that the city of Warwick needs the revenue, but they need to be responsible for the consequences. When I purchased the house in 2017, I did see that wall that was on the property. The owner was in the process of moving. He wasn't there. He was moving down south. I didn't know what that wall was for. I just thought it was some ugly mid-century design, but the flipper did buy it and tear it down. And my understanding was he had to tear it down because the city said it wasn't up to code. So now Beverly and Kevin purchased the home. They're not told that it's in an area that's prone to flooding, and they're left vulnerable. So in summary, they cannot sell that house because they have to disclose that it floods. It's flooded 3 times since they've been there. They've had one flood insurance cancel them already. Now they're in the second flood insurance carrier. Pretty soon they're not going to be able to get flood insurance. They're not going to be insurable, and they have a house they cannot sell. There are federal dollars earmarked to take care of this, and I feel it would be a travesty for those funds to lapse because the city won't contribute. So that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Next is Barry Cook.
Good evening. Barry Cook, Ward 1. Several things I want to talk about tonight. First and foremost is Rule 41. Starting in the middle of February, when I was away in Florida, I wrote to each councilman a text message in which I said the following. It's high time that all members of the city council respond to taxpayers in a respectful manner. This respect can be evidenced by changing your rules, Rule 41, to permit a council member or members to respond to a question or comment put forth in address to the council. When the entire city council sits there without responding, it is an insult to we residents and taxpayers. While I realize some council members would like to respond, they adhere to the council rule rather than attempt to amend the rule, as I suggest herein. It's time to challenge the status quo and to stop hiding behind the rule as now written. I will be sending this to Council President Sinapi as well as all the rest of the council. One of the things that I've talked about in the past, I recently received a note from someone who belongs to the Taxpayers Association, although I'm here tonight speaking on my behalf. One of my members said, at the city council meeting, it feels as if the public for whom they work and voted them in are treated like an unwanted guest. Now, let me say this. Of the 9 council people that I have written to, 8 have responded, either in a text message or a phone call. Only the president of the city council has not responded. He has ignored 4 of my text messages without acknowledging receipt. Now, tonight is a perfect example of why Rule 41 should be amended. We had people here with serious concerns about drainage, flooding.
Mr. Cook, I need you on the mic. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
I need you on the mic.
I can't hear you.
I need you speaking into the mic.
So tonight's a perfect example of why the rule must be amended. We had people here talking about serious drainage problems, and none of you folks even acknowledge their existence. Now, it seems to me, as I suggested in my text messages to all of you, one of the easy ways to show respect to the taxpayers would be to modify the rule that says a council person or council persons could easily show respect to we taxpayers by saying, thank you, Mr. Cook. We appreciate your input. I'll make a note and get back to you at a later date. Or thank you, Mr. Cook, or the people with drainage problems. Thank you for your input. I'll make a note. See me after the meeting. But none of you even do that. It's almost as if we should stay home because it's like you don't want to talk to us. So you need to modify this rule. And let me say this. I don't know who sponsored the rule. I don't care who sponsored the rule, but I know you're tired of me saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. When I served on the East Providence City Council, yeah, I know, it was 40 years ago. I agree, it was 40 years ago. But I've sat like where you sit now, and when people came to an East Providence City Council meeting, they were treated with more respect than you people treat us. Now, I've had people tell me, oh, the open meeting law prohibits us. That's a crock. Stop hiding behind the rule. Stop hiding behind the open meeting law. You people have the right to challenge the president of the city council in any ruling that he makes. So if one of you attempted to speak up and acknowledge me tonight, and he attempted to shut you down, you have the right to call a vote of your fellow council people to overrule him. Now, he's already shown disrespect to me because he hasn't bothered to acknowledge any of my four messages. That's disrespectful. And for those of you who did respond, thank you. I want to comment on two other things. You also have tonight, I think, a resolution regarding the Freedom of Information Act, a bill pending in the State House, which would create a $25 maximum fee for research work done to answer a Freedom of Information Act. That resolution should be tabled and put away. That does not enable the public in Warwick to get information that they need. You want to force us out by not responding at a council meeting, and now you want to charge us $25 a page for research. That's nonsense. One final thing, and I'll sit down. You had a resolution on the discussion tonight on the agenda to talk about a bond premium, to use the bond premium for a different reason. I understand that wasn't heard tonight, and it's going to be deferred to a later date. Well, we've been down that road, too. Anything on the agenda, I should be allowed to speak, whether you...
Time's up, Mr. Cook.
Push it off or not.
Time's up, Mr. Cook.
I understand. You can have me taken out by the police. You did that with COVID.
Thank you, Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Sinapi.
Next,
perhaps you
have...
should respond to my text.
Thank you for your time. Next up is Mr. Richard Langsa.
Time has not started yet, right, Lynn?
I haven't gotten there yet,
so Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm Road. First, I'd like to comment on the people who spoke before and Lynn failed to tell them of the one-minute warning. I would think that good council people would have extended the comments. I don't think that was fair. That was their first time here. They didn't understand the rules. I'm talking about PCR 3725, which is a resolution requesting the General Assembly to review and consider adopting provisions of the Rhode Island Civil Rights Enforcement Act. I'm offering you some grandfatherly advice here because I don't think the city understands what this is all about. And what it's all about are things like me coming before you and asking you to look at the ordinance of Buttonwoods, which says it's a private road. Now, when I am stopped by the Warwick police going to Old Buttonwoods, my civil rights are being violated, okay? If you read the statute, the proposed statute, you'll discover, as between an innocent party, myself, whose rights have been violated by the acts or omissions of a government entity, could be the Buttonwoods Fire District, it could be the Warwick City Council. As defined in this chapter or agents thereof, city council members, it is the governmental entity or an agents thereof shall bear the cost of any harm caused by such violation of rights, not the innocent party. Now what this proposed law does is codifies 42 U.S.C. 1983, which is called the Ku Klux Klan Act. And now the state of Rhode Island has case law that allows me to go to court in Rhode Island under 42 U.S.C. and take people like the city of Warwick in and then sue them and have them pay for damages done to me. Okay. What this statute does is it codifies that into statute, so I don't have to argue U.S.C. 42, you know, the federal law. I can just say, hey, this state statute says that you violated my civil rights, so you pay my lawyer fees, okay? And we all go through this process of straightening the matter out and you pay everything. I just can't imagine the city council thinking this is a good idea to go to the legislature and say they should pass it. It is beyond me to think that the Rhode Island League of Cities and Towns has endorsed this. It's already gone before committee. It's now being held. I really don't think you should be sending this to the state. I don't think it's in the interest of anybody to do that. In addition, I just wanted to bring to your attention, we had a case in Old Buttonwoods. It was a building of a property on Buttonwoods Avenue, and it went before the PAL. The PAL is the archaeological people who look for Indian bones and all these kinds of things. And what they presented to the developer and the proponents was a map from 1870. And this map says that Buttonwoods Avenue is a city, is a town road. It gives the number. It says it's number 166. And in the old days, we had surveyors of roads. And what surveyors of roads did was they went and they maintained the roads, and then they appropriated money after they maintained them. Jack is familiar with trying to get your money back. The town might go to the abutters and say, okay, abutters, the surveyor roads fixed the road, so therefore you pay. That makes it a public road. So just be aware that in addition to the colonial maps show of the Royal Navy showing Buttonwoods Avenue as a public road, we also have a map.
You have 47 seconds, Mr. Okay. Langston.
We also have a map in 1870, which is before the Buttonwoods Beach Association bought the property, showing it's a public road. Then the Buttonwood Beach Association filed a plat map, which is a dedication of the roads in the plat map to the public. That's case law. But this road was already there. So they may have dedicated it, but they didn't need to because it was already a public road. So just, you know, the months are going to be going by. We're going to CRMC on April 8th. Your people are invited. And we're going to be talking about these kinds of things. But be aware that the ordinance that you have saying Buttonwoods Avenue is private is not a good idea. And you can see USC 1983 is a good example of why it's not. And thank you very much.
That concludes the list. Councilman Ricks.
Motion for a 5-minute recess.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any objections? All right, so we'll take a 5-minute recess. Be back at 7:36 p.m. Well, 7:37 to be safe.